Well, what I want to emphasize is that I think the observational skills developed through verbalizing what they were seeing and doing were absolutely critical, and it's something that has to be emphasized in anything that we do in the future. Another aspect that hasn't been talked about yet, I think that the extensive field debriefings were an incredible learning tool. After you run the crew through an exercise, 4 to 6 hours going through a map traverse, collecting all the samples and making all their observations, there's a couple of geologists sitting at the other ends of those radios listening to everything they're saying. We tried to have geologists in that situation who, well, they obviously know that we're in a volcanic terrain or something, but they may not know the detailed geology of the given area. And so the debriefing included two aspects. There was a geologist walking in the field with the crew when they were working. Here's Lee Silver standing, and there would be one or two walking with the crew, and there'd be the guys in the back room. When we would go through these debriefings, we would really rewalk the whole traverse and discuss basically every observation that was made. Was it correct? Was it the best observation they could make? How could they have said it better? Did they say it really well? Did they not say it well? I think this was probably, in my opinion, one of the most valuable aspects of this training. When you really get in there and critique what you've done, and you have to really understand where you did well and where you didn't, you're great. You know, this is your grade, and then you go back and do it again, you just do really improve significantly. And this is just to talk about debriefing. That's Dave and Jim and Lee Silver, and I have no idea who the other heads in the background are. So to summarize what was basically done, realistic simulated traverse, just like Jack talked about, including the crew. I think having the CAPCOM there, the real-time CAPCOMs that are going to be working with the guys on the surface is critical, and the scientists. And problem-solving, thought processes in the field, developing the common language you've heard talked about comes from all the verbalization. And it was important to let the crew, like Jack said, to develop their own words to a large degree. Not try and impose a whole geologic jargon on them. I think that was a mistake to try. It would be a mistake to try and do that. You give them a few critical things, but let them use their own words. They're comfortable with them. And then do the routine procedures until they become second nature. That's obvious. And then the debriefings I talked about. So the key word here is confidence, and Jack said that already. The guys have to have confidence in what they're doing. They have to know and not be afraid to talk about what they see, and they have to be able to do it. You only can do it if you've done it enough to where you really believe that you can do it. You've got to build rapport with the team, to use a common term today, team building. We didn't use that term back then. We didn't know what it was, but that's what we were doing. We were building teams. And the other important thing, and this is something that I don't know how you achieve exactly, but you want the crew, the astronauts, to become stakeholders in their mission. I can't emphasize that enough. The guys really did that, but you've got to be sure that happens, whatever it takes to do it. And then the confidence in their procedures. And then the other aspect of these simulated traverses is the guys learn to work in a constrained time frame. On the moon, time is always the enemy. It's always in the background. It's always egging you on, and you've got to learn to work in that constrained environment. And these simulated traverses were always done with very strict timelines, and the crews were forced to work in that timeline, make the observations they could make, and then move on. I was reading something on the web, and I found this comment by Dave Scott. I thought that was particularly apropos. I like the comment here in this middle statement that, you know, this is what we were trained to do. We were looking for something different. What they saw were the green clods that turned out to be the green glass pyroclastics. They recognized them immediately as something different. If you listen to the transcript, you can see they get a little bit excited, just like they did when they collect the, quote, Genesis rock. But they were keen observers, and that was a critical part of what the training was all about. I was involved in a back room, so I didn't hear this comment. This goes back to what Dean mentioned. I know Dick Johns very well. He was my thesis advisor at Stanford. I have a lot of respect for him. He did work with astronauts at the time. He was acting as a science advisor. I think it was on ABC. And he made this comment, and I thought that was particularly apropos. And this is another thing. These were the only geologic field trips ever televised worldwide live. And I just think that's a neat picture. Thank you.
We'll take time for a question for Gary if the audience has one. With Jack.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I kind of got my initial work with that training with the 13 crew, and I saw that enthusiasm. I only did on a couple of field trips with them, but you could see that the beginnings of what we were doing and what we would be doing for the rest of J missions started really with the 13 crew. I mean, rovers are critical, and they give us the ability to go long distances. I didn't mean to denigrate rovers. I only wanted to make the point that you can teach this field geology and these exercises on the cheap without a lot of extra special equipment. A lot of our field trips were 8 or 10 guys going in the field with what we could carry in our suitcases, and there was no logistical support of any significance. And I don't think those trips were all that expensive. And ask Jack. I mean, we did a lot of trips like that where it was not a big deal. There were a few that were a big deal, and they needed to be at the right time. No, rovers are absolutely critical. I'm currently planning traverses for the new generation of rovers for exercises that they're going to be doing out at Flagstaff in just a week or so. So, yeah, they're critical. They were actually coots, but those all-terrain vehicles. No, I agree with you totally, Jack. I was just trying to make the point that with the 15 crew, we only had a couple of those exercises through the whole training. They still did their working with a rover was kind of like automatic, and you could teach them a lot without that, and they're a little bit less expensive trips, that's all.
Was Let's take one more question here, right here in the center.
Yeah. Gary, actually, this is for Jack. Having seen all the traverses from 17 and seeing how Jack had, in a sense, geologically outperformed Gene, Jack, would you suggest that future astronauts have a very strong geologic training like yourself?
Well, I don't expect every astronaut.
Let me add one quick comment to what Jack just said. I think I agree everything he said, but I think the geologists have to go through this kind of training along with everybody else.
Well, no question about it. Working together once you're assigned a crew has to be done in the way that I think we did with Apollo. Hopefully, we'll be better prepared for the future.
Dean Epler asked to make one quick comment.
Relative to rovers, they're on every mission. Every time somebody tries to take them off, I get irritable. And when I get irritable, people usually listen to me. So far, and I have had tacit agreement by everybody that one geologist is on every crew. Eternal vigilance is the price of success, so you have to keep an eye on these guys.